While the Hellbender is getting some much-needed attention, amphibians around the world are in trouble. They're dying. And a particularly nasty fungus called chytrid is playing a major role.
It is a member of the phylum Chytridiomycota, and it's one of only two species in that phylum that's known to infect vertebrates.
That's Michelle Omer, a postdoctoral researcher at the Richards Zawacki Lab at the University of Pittsburgh. She studies the chytrid fungus that affects amphibians.
Frogs, salamanders, and also caecilians, which are a really interesting worm-like amphibian that many people don't know about because they live underground.
Veronica Sines is a PhD student also working on the fungus.
Veronica, what does it do to the species that it infects?
The chytrid fungus affects the amphibian skin. The skin is really important in amphibians because they breathe through the skin and they're like ions transported from the water to the skin. So that causes a cardiac arrest, finally, for the frog, and then that's how they actually end up dying.
Electrolyte loss in humans, you know, if you're running, you need to drink a Powerade or something afterwards. So amphibians, if their skin is damaged by this fungus, they can lose a lot of electrolytes through their skin or various ions, and that is what can cause a lot of disruption to their bodily functions.
What impact has it had on amphibian populations?
So it has caused massive declines. More than 500 species have declined, which is impressive, actually. And many of them have gone extinct. And it's a huge loss for biodiversity.
So impressive, but horrifying.
Yes, horrifying, definitely. It's caused the worst declines in vertebrates.
So how has it spread and over how many years?
The greatest amphibian declines occurred in the 1980s, and that's when there were many researchers around the globe trying to figure out what was causing these declines. And later, in 1998, it was discovered that it was this fungus, Batrachochytrium dendrobatidis, or we like to call it BD for short, because it's a lot easier to say. This fungus was discovered actually concurrently in the United States and in Australia. Researchers together determined that this was the pathogen or the fungus that was killing amphibians. And so recently, there's actually been a number of papers that have come out to demonstrate that the pathogen originated in Asia and likely was spread around the world via the pet trade and the food trade, actually, as well. As a result of these trades, invasive species have invaded various new locations around the world, and they're able to carry this fungus, and that impacts the native populations of amphibians.
Can a frog or an amphibian carry the fungus and not be infected itself?
So there are different species of frogs, and each species has its own susceptibility. So some of them are really susceptible to the fungus, so they will die pretty fast. And other species carry the fungus, but they are not affected. So they are vectors of the disease. So that means that they will transport the disease to other animals or to the water. BD lives in the water, and it has been detected like in crayfish and basically anything that's like pretty moist in the water, like, and has keratin, might carry the fungus.
Michelle, why has it been so rampant?
Well, because the fungus has a recent origin from Asia, so it spread from Asia and ended up in all these populations of amphibians that were naive to the fungus, especially in places like Central America and Eastern Australia. These populations had never experienced the fungus before. They didn't evolve with this pathogen, and so it caused a lot of declines, likely because they didn't have any resistance to the pathogen. Also, just because, as Veronica was saying, it lives in moist soil and in the water, so it's easily spread from one pond to the next. Even humans can carry the fungus on the soles of their boots if they're moving from one wetland to another. And so we're thinking that that's probably why it spreads so easily.
Does it impact local species?
We've been studying the chytrid fungus at the Pymatuning Lab of Ecology, which is the University of Pittsburgh's field station. And we found really high prevalences of this pathogen at the ponds around the field station. And we do see amphibians dying from the fungus. But at this point, they're in a little bit of a homeostasis. The host and the pathogen are coexisting. So it's called an enzootic phase. It's no longer an epidemic. And this is really good until the environment shifts. So For example, with climate change, we may see more epidemics happening because the environment has changed.
Because it's getting warmer or wetter? We know that that's a possibility in Pennsylvania.
Yes. So in Pennsylvania, it's going to get warmer and wetter. This might be good for some species of amphibian, but for other species that prefer cooler temperatures, they may actually become more susceptible to the pathogen because their immune system doesn't work as well at warmer temperatures.
In the East, they get the infection. Some of them declined in different, it depends on the weather, especially coming from overwintering in the spring, they get high infection loads. And then they could clear the infection in the summer. That's a general pattern that we have seen here in Pennsylvania, where the fungus does better at cooler conditions usually.
It's likely that certain species, in particular chorus frogs, may have declined as a result of the chytrid fungus. And also leopard frogs, particularly in the northern parts of their range, have also likely declined, at least potentially due to the chytrid fungus as well.
So what's being done to stop this? Is there anything that can be done to stop it or slow it?
I think at this point, it's very difficult to control the fungus in nature. There are some things that can be done to try and modify habitat. In Eastern Australia, it's been found that after hurricanes, certain streams become sunnier and amphibians are able to clear themselves of the fungus because they can elevate their body temperature by basking. So it may be possible to modify habitats a little bit to benefit the amphibian over the fungus. And also, it's very important that we stop the continued trade of amphibians, and in particular, avoid the introduction of another fungal pathogen that's been recently discovered in Europe, Batrachochytrium salamandrivorans, or BSAL for short. So BSAL hasn't made its way to North America yet, but North America has the greatest diversity of salamanders of anywhere in the world. And so it's really important that we don't have this new fungus invade North America, because we don't know what will happen to our populations here. You know, even local people can help stop the spread of this fungus. You can clean your boots between wetlands. You can clean your fishing gear, your waders, your kayaks. Let them dry out before you then move on to another pond. And then that's important because there's actually different strains of the fungus as well. And so we don't want to continue to spread these different strains around, which may have different virulences or how strong or effective they are at hurting the amphibians.
It's really hard to get rid of the fungus, but one thing that is good actually is that some amphibians are actually developing some kind of immune defense towards the fungus, and that's some kind of hope for us for more survival.
Veronica Sines and Michelle Omer are researchers at the Richard Zawacki Lab at the University of Pittsburgh. There are more stories about wildlife from our series Wild PA at AlleghenyFront.org/WildPA. I'm Kara Holzapfel. You're listening to The Allegheny Front.